So lesson number four of 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We all get calls, don't we? You get phone calls, you get all kinds of calls, and that phone rings, and sometimes if there's too much noise in the house, or if you're in another room, you might miss a call. On your cell phone, it might say missed call or message on your answer machine. And you know what we're going to talk about this morning is God's call and how God calls us and how we need to be careful that we don't miss God's call, that we are not too busy or that the noise level in our lives is not so high that we don't hear God's call. And the introduction says God delights in calling people into His service. God delights in calling people into His service. God is calling people today into His service. The question is whether or not they are listening to His call. That's the question. Whether or not they are listening to His call. 1 Samuel 3 is going to be speaking about the call of Samuel, how God called Samuel and gave him a special message. And how is it that we're going to hear God's call? Well, we're going to see three things this morning. Number one, we're going to have to hear God moving. We have to hear God moving. If we are going to hear God's call, we have to hear God moving. In other words, we need to be listening. We need to be listening, don't we? And we see in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, that the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Letter A, Samuel was faithfully serving God in a spiritually dry time. He was faithfully serving God in a spiritually dry time. Yes? Okay, the first one was delights and the second one was listening. So God delights in calling people into His service, and the question is whether or not they're listening. Yes, and then Roman numeral 1 was you have to hear God moving. You got to be able to hear Him moving, that He's moving in your life. You have to be listening.
Amen.
So Samuel was faithfully serving God, because it says in verse 1, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He was a servant who was ministering. That word ministering, you know, that word ministering simply means serving. It doesn't apply just to ministers or preachers and pastors. It applies to everybody. And you ought to be living a life of service for the Lord. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And what kind of time was it? Well, it says the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. God was not speaking to people much at this time. It was the tail end of the judges again, when people had been rejecting God for years and years and years. God wasn't speaking to people. But now God's going to begin speaking again, because there is a faithful man named Samuel. And in verse 2, it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And here the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. So, letter B, Eli was elderly, and his eyesight was failing. Eli was an elderly man, and his eyesight was failing. He couldn't see well anymore. Eli's days of service were ending, and God was going to call somebody else. Eli's days were coming to a close. We saw his failure last week as a father. Eli failed as a father. He did not restrain his sons, the Bible says. He let them do what they wanted to do. He heard what they were doing. We said he did too little too late, right? He did too little too late. And because of that, God said, all right, we're going to remove your sons from power. All right, we're going to remove your sons. So let us see. God calls each of his children by name. And that also leads us to letter D. God knows us individually. When he calls you, he calls you individually. When God calls you, he calls you by your name. He knows you individually. He speaks to each of us in a different way because he knows what will get your attention, doesn't he, Brother Tony?
I'm glad that God got my attention because I was a slave until I was in my 50s. I never listened to God's word. I never even bothered listening to him. So I'm glad he didn't give up on me, is what I'm trying to say.
Amen to that.
There, and he's given me so many chances, and finally I heard his voice.
Amen. And you could, everybody could probably right now this morning tell how God got their attention. And he did it in a different way for each of us. So God knows you. He knows what will get your attention, and he'll do that. And that applies to before you're saved, and it also applies to after you're saved. He still speaks to you through different ways. Different things work for different people. Any parent knows that if they have more than one child, each child is very unique. And what works for one child might not work for the next child. All right? And how each child has their own personality. Well, God has a lot of children. And think about how God knows each of you individually. Brother Sabo? Amen. That's why when you talk to somebody, that is a good point, brother. You say to them, do you know Christ as your personal Savior?
Amen.
Not as just a Savior of the world, or the Savior of the world, but your personal Savior. That's what salvation is. A personal relationship. And God is calling Samuel here in 1 Samuel 3. He's calling him by name, letter C. And letter B, he knew him individually. And then we go to verse 5 of 1 Samuel 3. And notice, Samuel ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. He ran to Eli and said, Eli, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you, son. Go back to bed. Why was Samuel acting this way? Well, because it says here in verse number 6, it says, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I. So it's the second time. For thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now verse 7 tells us why Samuel's acting this way. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. All right? So this, he didn't know the Lord in a personal way yet. He was young. The Bible says he was a child. And people like to talk about, well, when is a child old enough to be saved? There is no specific number given in the Bible. There are some who have been saved at the age of 4. My wife was saved at the age of 4. Some are saved at the age of 6. Some older. Some don't understand it until they're 10, 11, 12. We don't know the age. There is no magic age in the Bible. It's when they are able to understand that they're a lost sinner in need of a Savior.
Amen.
When they understand that, they're able to be saved. That's a different age. Now, Samuel, we don't know exactly how old he was. Some people believe he was 12 years old at this time, maybe slightly younger. We don't know. But this obviously is God calling Samuel. Samuel had never heard words from God before, and that's letter E. Samuel had not received direct words from God prior to this. Samuel had not received direct words from God prior to this. He didn't know what this was all about. He kept running to Eli. Eli, you called me. And Eli said, no, I didn't call you, son. He didn't know it was God's voice. And he's a 12-year-old boy, or somewhere around there. He had an excuse, right? What about adults? They don't really have much of an excuse. God's calling them, and they don't know his voice. Look at Job 33. Job 33 and verse 14. How about Christians who still sometimes don't perceive the voice of God? God is calling to them, screaming at them, yelling to them, and they just aren't hearing him. Again, why? Because like number one, we said you got to hear God moving. They're not listening. And in Job 33:14, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not.
Amen.
How many times people miss it? Because they're too busy, their lives are too loud with whatever it is they're filling their life with. that they don't have time to listen to God. So Samuel had not received direct words from God prior to this. Now back to letter F here, back to 1 Samuel 3. Letter F, God will keep calling for a time. God will keep calling for a time. We say for a time because there will come a time if a person for so long rejects the voice of God and God's convictions where God finally says, okay, that's it. You're on your own. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 speaks of this. How if a nation, or for that matter, an individual for so long chooses to reject God, God will say, okay, you're on your own. Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is speaking of how nations, when they reject God, the moral downfall they experience. And you can read that whole chapter and see what those things are. Things that our country is facing right now. And they rejected God. And God finally said, okay, I give you up. You're on your own. You're left to your own devices. As a parent would say to a child, you've made your bed, now lie in it. That's what God says sometimes to a nation or an individual if they so choose to reject God. How about Hebrews 4:7? Hebrews. And you know what? Christians also need to be careful that they listen to God's voice, that Christians don't get to the point where they reject God's voice. Hebrews 4:7. Again, notice this word, He limiteth a certain day. Saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. There is a limited time. So God will keep calling for a time, and then there comes a time where He will not keep calling. Now back in 1 Samuel 3, verse 8, we see, 1 Samuel 3:8. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And now we see Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Eli says, okay, I think I know what's going on here. I think I know what's happening. And this is God calling you, Samuel. So he says in verse 9, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. He said, this is what you need to do, Samuel. You need to go back. When the Lord calls this time, you need to respond to Him and say, speak, for thy servant heareth. And that's letter G. Older believers are to teach the young about responding to God. Older believers are to teach the young about responding to God. Better F, we said, was for a time. So older believers should teach the young about responding to God. Say, when God's touching your heart, you need to respond. Right? Don't wait, because He might not call again. Don't wait. Respond. Older believers also need to respond to God's call, right? We all need to respond to God's call. And we need to listen. And verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. That's the right answer. Amen. That's the right answer. Lord, I'm all ears. I'm listening. I'm here. I'll listen to what you want. And I'm your servant. I'll do what you want. Amen. That's a good response. And letter H, you need to be waiting for God to speak to you. You need to be waiting for God to speak to you. When you come to church on Sunday, you should come with an open heart, looking and expecting God to speak to your heart. Amen. That's the way to come to church, with an open and eager heart. Not with a closed up, hard heart like, oh man, I got to listen to this again, or oh man, I got to go to this again. No, no, come with an eager heart, because God will have something for you. All right, for the sake of
God, if you will, to
That's what God will do to a believer that rejects His way. So put him up on the shelf, right? Won't be used. Yeah, we're going to mention that. Let's look at Psalm 85, verse 8. Psalm 85, verse 8. This is the attitude that we ought to have. Psalm 85, 8. Says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. I will hear what God wants me to hear, the psalmist says. I'm coming with an eager heart. And look at Haggai. That's towards the end of the Old Testament. I'm sorry, Habakkuk is what I meant to say. Not too far from Haggai. Habakkuk. All the way towards the end of the Old Testament. And Habakkuk was going through a trial. He was going through some difficulties. Habakkuk. Let's see who can find it first, right? It's one of those books we don't go to that often. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Look at what he says. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He says, I'm going up to the tower because Habakkuk had a problem. We studied this book many months ago, probably over a year ago, and Habakkuk was a little disgruntled about what was going on in his country. Right? He was a little disgruntled about what was going on in his country, and he basically was saying, God, are you not watching what's going on? Lord, are you not paying attention to what these people are doing, and you're kind of just letting it go on? It's, what's going on? But then after he made that grievance, after he submitted that grievance, he basically said, I'm going to go up to the tower now, I'm going to sit, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to hear what God has to say. That's the right attitude. Let's stop and wait, and let's see what God has to say. Brother Paul.
Well, speaking of alone in Psalms, too, as far as our attitude when we either are in church or reading God's word at home,
yes.
Be still and know that He's God.
Amen.
So I have a question. Sure. And I couldn't find an answer to talk about the good either.
All right, we'll try.
I go on a computer even at 12:12. Eli Fulton, Daniel said, speak more.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I don't know if there is any. Again, it's possible because we see it said in verse number, the earlier verse there, verse 7, that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, so this is new to him, it could be. And he's a young child, so yeah, he's going to be learning as he goes. So this, I believe, is the beginning of Samuel's relationship with the Lord. Yes.
Every time, and I hate to fall to the rules, I guess. But every time I look at it, it gets worse. Every time I just start that question, God, why are you letting these people go away?
Yep. And God's answer, God's answer to that is nobody's getting away with anything. Nobody's getting away with anything. It may appear that they're getting away with something right now, but nobody's getting away with anything. God is a just judge, and every man will receive just judgment. So if you're going to hear God's call, you got to hear God move. You got to be listening. Number two, once you hear Him move, you got to number two, herald God's message. Herald it out. Speak it out. Herald God's message. In other words, be loyal. Be loyal to the message He gives you. Because in verses 11 and 12, it says, And the Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. That message was already mentioned in chapter 2. When God sent a prophet to Eli and said, your house is under judgment and your sons are going to die. So letter A, Samuel's first message was not a pleasant one. How's that for a first assignment? Samuel's first message was not a pleasant one. He did not have an easy assignment here. He said, you need to go speak to Eli about how I'm going to judge him. Young Samuel going to speak to the elderly Eli. That's not easy. And he said, everyone that hears it, their ears are going to tingle. Letter B, a message of judgment should bring fear. A message of judgment should bring fear. Psalm 119, verse 120. Psalm 119, that great psalm about the Word of God. Psalm 119, 120. Notice what the psalmist says, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. When God is angry, we ought to be afraid. Now, you and I, we're believers, praise God, we don't have to fear that God's going to condemn us. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But nevertheless, when we hear a coming judgment, it ought to strike fear into every heart. This world's going to be judged. And those left here are going to be judged. Just like the Bible, Jesus uses this illustration, just as in the days of Noah. Just like in the days of Noah. Nobody believed it was going to happen. And nobody did anything about it. And they were judged. And Jesus said, just like in the days of Noah, everybody was marrying, giving in marriage, and having feasts, and all this and that. They didn't even know that this judgment was going to come. They didn't want to believe it. Noah preached the message for over 120 years, the Bible says. And the day came, and it was too late. And that ought to strike fear, because we know the story of Noah and how it happened. That's the same way it's going to happen in the future. And it should be a message of fear. And in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 3, God speaks to Samuel, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Eli did nothing to stop his sons. He did nothing to remove them from the temple or the tabernacle. He let them continue serving. And let her see, God holds us accountable for how we lead our families. God holds us accountable for how we lead our families. God expects parents to raise their children the right way.
Amen.
Letter D, Eli was lenient in the moral standards he had for his sons. Eli was lenient in the moral standards he had for his sons. He just let them go. They were guilty of immorality. They were guilty of greed, corruption in the tabernacle. We spoke of that last week. And now he let them do this. So, verse 14, therefore, God is still speaking, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. It's too late. There's no fixing this now. They've crossed the line. They've been given opportunity and time. So letter E, he and his sons would be removed from the tabernacle service. They would be removed. They have forfeited their right to serve in the tabernacle. That's scary. As Brother Sable mentioned, being put on the shelf, being removed from service, no longer of use to God, because you know what? God will only use clean vessels for His work. He's only going to use somebody that's living a clean life, living a pure life. Otherwise, God's not going to be able to use that individual. God expects His children to live pure lives. So they're going to be removed. And in verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I mean, this is no easy thing to share with somebody. So, letter F, Samuel was hesitant to reveal the message. You ever feel hesitant to reveal the message? Right? It's not easy to reveal a message of judgment to those that you know, or anybody in that, for that matter. It's difficult. And you might hesitate, how do I tell this to them? But there is a message of judgment upon the world that if a person doesn't receive Christ as Savior, they're going to a place called hell. And that's a message of judgment. That's no easy message to share. It takes courage. But verse 16, Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has set him to be? Obviously, God's not speaking to Eli anymore. So he's speaking to Samuel. So Eli has to go to young Samuel Look at how the tables have turned. Now Eli has to go to Samuel and say, what did God tell you, Samuel? What is this thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from of all the things that he said unto thee. You better tell me everything, Samuel. So verse 18, Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. Eli says, that's God's word, and I can't fight it. Eli realizes what's happening. Letter G. Nevertheless, we're speaking of Samuel here. Letter G. Nevertheless, Samuel was sure to declare the whole message. He revealed the whole message. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't try to change it in a little way to make it more palatable, right? As sometimes we do, we try to, dress it up. We don't want to be so harsh. And again, I do believe we ought to speak the truth tactfully, okay? But we got to speak it all.
Do you think that the Lord forgave Eli even though Eli knew what was going to happen?
I think, I believe Eli, we know Eli knew the Lord, and I know from the Bible here Eli's going to be in heaven. But we don't really read that Eli repented of letting his sons do this, so God just took them out. We're going to see how that's going to happen. What God's going to do to Eli. So, it just seems sad that Eli didn't finish well. But, of course, I believe he knew the Lord. I believe he's in heaven. Okay? His sons didn't know the Lord. Hophni and Phinehas, the Bible said right there in chapter 2 last week, they were sons of Belial. Sons of the devil. They didn't know the Lord. But Eli, we read that he did know the Lord. So, they're going to be removed. Samuel was hesitant to reveal it. Nevertheless, he did declare the whole message. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to declare the whole message. Alright? Because that's what God's called us to do, and that's what love would do. True love would share the whole message because you want to warn people. Okay? You want to warn them of what could happen. And that's why, letter H, we should not be afraid to share anything from God's Word. We should not be afraid to share anything from God's Word. It's God's Word, it's true, and we should just declare it. It's not you making it up. It's not your message of judgment, it's God's Word. You're just declaring it. It's not your message. You're not condemning anybody. God's Word is what's doing the condemning. So it's not you. That's where you have to just take it. Don't be personal with it. In other words, if somebody gets mad at you about the message, they're not getting mad at you, they're getting mad at the Bible. Alright, somebody slams a door in your face, they're not slamming the door necessarily on you, per se, as much as they are on God's Word. So you're just a messenger. Right? You're just declaring a message. You're not making it up, it's not your own message, it's God's message. Samuel just had to declare it. So he was heralding God's message, he was loyal to God's message, and lastly, number 3, have God magnified. In other words, let God magnify after He has called you and after you've heralded His message. Let God magnify. In other words, be lowly. Look at verse 19. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. God blessed him. And that's letter A. God showed the nation who He was now using. God was showing the nation of Israel, I have a new prophet in town. His name is Samuel, and I'm going to speak through him. Because Samuel was humble, Samuel was loyal, he was listening. And when you do those things, God will use you. And he was showing the nation who he was now using. He grew, it said, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Meaning, whatever Samuel said was God's word, and it was true. And verse number 20, and all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, meaning from the north to the south of Israel, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Letter B, the prophet was God's official spokesman from then. From then on, the prophet was God's official spokesman. God was going to use prophets from then on. There will be the prophet Samuel. Then you get to, after the time of King David, you read about the prophet called Nathan. And there's other prophets in that time, and then you get, of course, to the, what we call the minor prophets. And the major prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and then all those little books towards the end. God was now going to use the prophet. And then, of course, John the Baptist was a prophet of sorts, wasn't he? He was the forerunner of Christ. He prophesied of Christ. even when Christ was here on his earth. And so, prophet was God's official spokesman from then on. And you know, letter C, when we are faithful to God, he will be close to us. We read in verse 19 how the Lord was with Samuel. When we're faithful to God, he'll be close to us. Right? Draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you in the book of James, right?
Amen.
Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you, God says. So as we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. And letter D, speak God's word, and you will never go wrong. If you speak God's word, you can never go wrong. Because God's word is always right. Speak God's word, and you can never go wrong. You know the only thing that's going to ever convict the human heart is the Word of God. You know the only thing that will ever bring a person to salvation is the Word of God. There is nothing else. It's not your arguments. It's not your persuasive presentation. It's not your illustrations. It's the Word of God. See that? Give out the Word of God. Jesus told the parable. He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow seed. And then later on in the parable, he said, the seed is the word of God. To sow the seed. Give out the word. That's all you're doing. Give out Bible verses. Okay? Gospel tracts are effective so long as they have scripture in them. Alright? Make sure when you give out a gospel tract, you know, it has scripture in it. And praise the Lord for these gospel tracts that we have. All those red, all that red, that's scripture. There's a scripture in these gospel tracts, and that's what's going to work in a person's heart, is scripture. Give out the word of God, and you will never go wrong. Now, verse 21 says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So, letter E, God continued to speak to Samuel from then on. So, now this was the beginning of the new relationship, and Samuel was going to be receiving God's word from then on. He passed the first test. He said, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And then he faithfully declared it, and God, from then on, was going to speak to him. And you know, the wonderful thing is letter F. Today, God speaks to his people through his word. God is still speaking today. God is still speaking today, and it's through his word. He doesn't speak directly, audibly, from heaven, but he speaks through his word, which is just as effective as what Samuel received. It's just as loud and clear. So you just have to avail yourself of it.
I just want to mention that some people say, who do you think you are? God talks to you. I said, well, he talks to everybody.
Amen.
Who's listening?
That's right.
He talks to me by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Yes, he does.
When you're doing something wrong, if you'll say it, that Holy Spirit lets you know you're
wrong. Amen to that. That's true. So, you can read the conclusion there, speaking of how Samuel was given an opportunity to be a light in Israel. Old Eli was rejected, and young Samuel was established. God was bringing in a new prophet. And, you know, God will never leave himself without a witness. So, always have somebody. Alright? And we just have to hear God's call. Hear God moving, be listening. Herald God's message, be loyal, and have God magnified. Be lowly. Listen, and he'll speak to you. You just got to be listening. Don't be too busy. All right. Don't have the music too loud so that you can hear the Lord. Amen. We live in a noisy culture. Noise. TVs make noise. Radios make noise. Computers make noise. There's noise everywhere. It's good once in a while to turn all those devices off. Gentlemen, that's why if you go on the men's retreat, you'll be away from the TV, you'll be away from the computer, you'll be away from your job, and you can listen to what God wants to say to you. Alright, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And, let's see. Brother Tony, would you close us in prayer?